When you see this title, all right, so here's what we're doing. The reason that all of the adults and junior high and senior high are in here tonight is you know that we have what we call semesters here. We don't do the quarter system here anymore. We took the quarter system a few years ago, and we packed it up in a nice little box, and we shipped it out of here. And so we're on a 20-week semester system is what we call it. And so for 20 weeks, we're in class. Usually for adults in junior high and senior high, we divide it into 10 weeks and 10 weeks. Sometimes we do 20 weeks total. But in between those 20-week semesters, we've got 2 weeks when adults, junior high and senior high, are in here for 2 weeks, Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. So the little kids are elsewhere, so their classes can be redone. Well, those 2 weeks are over. And this last Sunday, the fifth grade and under, they came back and they began to occupy their regular classrooms again. And so you know that on Sunday, we started with this last Sunday, we had our grief workshop with Jeff Jenkins on Sunday morning. But this coming Sunday, you will have Bible class options. And I meant to put that in Family News today, but it'll be in the bulletin when it comes out tomorrow. With the Bible class for adults, your options for adult classes, junior high and senior high, you'll have your regular classes on Sunday. But here's the deal why we're in here on Wednesday night. So for the summer, we always have a summer series where we invite different speakers to come in and speak to us on Wednesday nights. Well, it's not summer yet. Our summer series starts the first Wednesday of June. So we have 4 Wednesdays in the month of May. And so what we're going to do for the 4 Wednesdays in the month of May, before we get to our summer series in June, we're just going to have a little short course with all of us in here. And this is what we're studying. 4 things every Christian needs. So when you see that, if you were the one making the list, and in fact, I might get a pen and write some of these down. If you were the one making the list, what would you say are some things that every Christian, now this is not, these are not things that are optional, okay? Look at the words on the screen. It's every Christian. So these are not things that elders and deacons need. It's not things that good, strong Christians need. It's not things that just weak Christians need. These are things that every Christian, not once, needs. So if you were going to make a list of what that would include, what would you say every Christian needs?
Better knowledge.
The Bible? What'd you say?
Better knowledge of the Bible.
Better knowledge of the Bible. What else?
Jesus.
Baptist. Say it again.
Baptism.
Christian friends. What does every Christian need? What did you say?
Faith.
What does every Christian need?
Self-discipline.
Who is this?
Salvation.
Dirk? A prayer life.
The church.
Agape love. What is something that every Christian needs?
Grace.
Heart for winning souls. You said, is grace, is that what you said? Okay, just making sure I didn't mishear you. Heart for winning souls. Caleb?
Church family.
Good. What's something every Christian needs?
Courage to tell others about Christ.
Regular worship.
Braveness, was that John?
Humble spirit.
A bridled tongue.
God.
Patience. These are good. Now, we only have 4 weeks, all right? So we're only talking about 4 things. All of these are good. And maybe we'll have a part 2 after our summer series. And include some things that you've talked about tonight. So obviously you make a list, and some of them can be general. You know, every Christian needs God. Every Christian needs Jesus. Every Christian needs salvation. Some of you have mentioned some specific things. Every Christian needs a bridled tongue. Every Christian needs, Christian friends. The one that we're going to talk about tonight is the one that Lonnie mentioned. So Lonnie, you get extra credit. I don't know what that is, but you get extra credit. But more specifically than what Lonnie mentioned. Lonnie said every Christian needs faith, and that's true. So, but what I want us to talk about is to talk about every Christian needs a faith that holds. What does that mean? What does it mean to say every Christian needs a faith that holds?
Can't be persuaded.
Okay, can't be persuaded to go the wrong direction. I assume you mean, and not persuaded to do the right thing, but persuaded wrong direction. Dirk? Okay, regardless of your situation, have your faith strong so you can get through it. Stephen?
I said through that.
Sure, that's right. So sometimes God's timing is, and you know, sometimes we use that thought process, you know, God's timing is not our timing. Well, flip that around. You know, is it more likely that our timing is just not God's timing? You know, sometimes we want God to fit us. We want Him to fit our wants, our needs, our timeline. We want God to fit us like He's some kind of, did y'all play with silly putty? You know, we want God to fit into our little crevices of life. Isn't that weird? That's not the way it works. You know, that's making us the potter and Him the clay. Is that the way the Bible phrases it? That we're the potter, He's the clay, mold Him and make Him after my will. Right? That's the way that, no, I don't think that's the way, it's the other way around, right? But sometimes I don't want to be the clay. That's difficult. So what does this mean? Having a faith that holds. Darren? Okay. You got to have roots that go down deep. Paul would say to the church in Colossae that you got to be rooted and grounded deep in the faith. So how does that come about? What we're going to do in these classes is we're going to take a topic like you need a faith that holds. And we're just gonna, as time permits, I don't know if we'll get through all of these tonight, but as time permits, we're just gonna look at four things for each of these. We're gonna start with what is this? When you talk about a faith, what are you even talking about? And so we'll spend a little time talking about what something is, whatever that topic is. We're gonna talk about, second thing will be, why do you need this? We're saying every Christian needs this. Okay, why? And so that's gonna be the second part, the second thing we're going to look at on all of these. The third part will be how. How do we get it? I understand what it is now. I understand why I need it. How do I get this thing that I need? And then the fourth thing, if we have time, will be what happens if I don't have this? You're saying that I need this. The Bible says, well, what if I don't have it? What then? So that's each of these four things, we're going to break it up into those four areas. So what is biblical faith? What is that? Say again.
It's God's word.
Okay.
God's word.
All right. So it's
hearing the word of God.
Right. So Romans 10:17, it comes from hearing the word of God. What is biblical faith? What is that?
Fully persuaded.
Okay. You got to be fully persuaded. Okay. What does it mean? What does it mean if you've got biblical faith? Not going to say it. Okay. 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 So, Book of Hebrews, you've got a list of men of faith, and Darren says these were men who put their trust in the Lord.
It's active.
Okay. Biblical faith is an active faith. So let's think about what it's not, and then compare it to what it is. All right. So biblical faith is not just a religious feeling. Religious faith is not a religious opinion. Well, I think this. I've heard this. You know, I was led to believe this by a certain group. What is? Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. You know the verse. You could probably quote the verse, right? It's not a definition of faith, but it's more a description of it, where he begins this chapter on faith. And what does he say? Now, faith is the what? Okay, if you're a King James, New King James memorizer, you got the word substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Anybody have a different translation that doesn't have the word substance there? In Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Are there things as a Christian that you hope for? Yeah, absolutely. How do you know they're going to happen? Faith is the assurance, the word confidence. John, did you use that? No, you used the word persuaded, same concept. Faith is the confidence, it's the assurance that what God said He's going to do, He's going to do it. Do you have that kind of faith? It's the substance, it's the assurance of things hoped for, and then what's the second part of it? It's the evidence, conviction of things not seen. How do you know things are there if you can't see them? Right. So you the evidence, the assurance, the conviction of things that are not seen. Somebody says, you know, I've never seen God, so I can't believe in God. Okay. You ever seen your brain? Can't, if I can't see it, I don't believe in it. Okay. Well, how's that gonna turn out for you? Do you believe there is a God? Yes. How strongly do you believe it? Because it's just because, well, it's, I just got this strong feeling that there's a God. Forget strong feelings. That could be something you ate. Do you believe, understand with full assurance and conviction, there is a God who made this world and everything in it?
Yeah, you can see it.
You can see it. Mm-hmm. So Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 says that there is the invisible, the things that we do not see. And yet we understand and we know the God who made those things that are invisible and we cannot see. And we understand that by the things that are made. Do you believe that this pen has a designer and a creator? Do you believe that? Were you there? Did you see him put it together? Was it a man or a woman who put it together? Tall or short? Good looking or ugly? Who put it together? You don't have a clue. But you know why? Because you're holding a pen. Or I'm holding a pen. There's a pen in your right there. You know, so you know there's a pen maker. And everything around us, I'm saying things you all understand. But what we need here, we need a faith that holds. That's the whole point of this. Not just a faith, yeah, I believe in God. No, a faith that holds when somebody challenges you. You really believe in God? With all of these bad things that are happening in this world, and you still believe in God? Yeah, still do. Because nothing that happens changes the truth that there is a God. What is faith not? Faith is not a blind faith. Look in John chapter 20. Go over to John chapter 20. Why did John write the Gospel of John? What was his purpose in writing this? Yeah. So John sits down and he writes, and in verse 30, John 20, verse 30, he says, "These signs I've written to you." Many other signs, he says, Jesus did in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. So John took the time, depending on how you count it. Some people count 7, some people count 8, whatever. But John chose specific miracles to put within his writing. And he gets to the end of it and he says, many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written. Well, John, why did you record the things that you wrote? So that you might what? So that you might believe. Was he just telling them, look, I just think, I'm convinced of this, so I think you need to be convinced of this. Was he wanting them to have a blind faith? Their faith was based upon evidence. And so he says, I want you to know that the things that I'm writing to you are things that really happened. And so that's why I'm recording them for you. If you're in John 20, is Acts chapter 1 in the neighborhood? So if you look over in Acts chapter 1 in verse 3, when Luke is talking about his purpose in writing the book of Acts, he wrote the book of Luke and what Jesus began both to do and to teach in verse 1. But after he was raised from the dead in verse 3, it says that Jesus presented himself alive. And the New King James says he presented himself alive through many infallible proofs. Was Jesus raised from the dead?
Yep, amen. It's evidence.
You just heard that story?
Evidence.
Mary had a little lamb. So you've heard a story about Mary had a little lamb, and you've heard a story about he's not here, he's risen from the dead. And so how do you know which is, how do you know, whether it was the three little pigs, if that's a true story, or if it's Jesus being raised from the dead and that's a true story? Is there evidence for the resurrection of Jesus? Is there evidence outside of Scripture? Yeah, there's there is biblical evidence. There is historical evidence. Your faith, don't let somebody get you to believe your faith is just a blind leap in the dark. It's not. Your faith in Jesus, if you're going to have a faith that holds, it's got to be a faith that you understand. It's based upon true, foundational, historical evidence. And it's the young people that face this more than some of us old people. And their faith is. You don't really believe. You believe, yes, and you have evidence. You have a foundation for your faith. It's not blind. What is faith? It's not passive. And this was said. This was stated, that the Bible faith is not just something I have in my heart. Bible faith is something that moves me to act. Darren mentioned Hebrews chapter 11. It's a chapter full of faith that was obedient to what God said. What does James chapter 2 say about faith by itself?
Dead.
It's dead. Does that sound like a good kind of faith to have? A dead faith? No, that's not any good. So what does he say? So what makes my faith alive then? If a faith by itself is dead, then how can I make my faith so it's not dead anymore? What does it need? It's got to have obedient works with it. So let me give you three words. They're going to be in all caps here. What is biblical faith? And we've used these words. I'm going to put them in one sentence here. Biblical faith is confidence in what God has said. I pick up my Bible. Can you have confidence that the Bible is inspired? That it wasn't just put together by a group of guys sitting around in a room and saying, hey, what do you think I ought to say? Oh, what do you think we ought to say? Do you have confidence that it was actually inspired by God? I mean, it claims that, but you could sit down and write a book and you could claim it's from God, right? It's got fulfilled prophecy. How do you explain fulfilled prophecy? Not just about, you got the 330 plus prophecies about Jesus, but you have prophecies about cities, you got prophecies about nations, you got prophecies about other people, you got prophecies about kings, and the Bible names them before they were 150 years before they're ever born. How's that get in there? I mean, is there evidence when you believe the Bible's from God? Don't let somebody get you to believe it's some kind of a fairy tale, some kind of fiction. Well, what about these contradictions? There's no contradictions in the Bible. They're going to try to get you to believe there are. You know what kind of people usually try to get you to believe there's contradictions in the Bible? People who have never read the Bible. But when you actually sit down and read the Bible, oh, wait, this all fits together. Oh, wait. No, there's not contradictions, because this passage actually explains this passage. You need to have confidence in what God says and trust what God says, even when you don't understand it. When Elisha, and this is the passage on 2 Kings chapter 5, when Elisha told Naaman, Naaman had leprosy. So what did he tell him to do? Take two pills and call him in the morning? Go to what river? The Pharpar and the Abana back in his homeland? Jordan River. And that was Naaman's. That was Naaman's. He's like, say what? I mean, if you want me to be clean, maybe I should use clean water. But this isn't it. So go to this water, and you want me to baptize myself seven times. And that's going to cleanse me of the leprosy. What medical school did Elisha go to? What diploma was hanging on his wall? What? And so what was Naaman's first reaction? All right, let's head to the Jordan. He hightailed it out. He's going home. Forget this. We're not doing this. Until Gehazi, his servant, comes along and says, what? If he had asked you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? He's asking you to do something simple. Okay, so did it make sense to Elisha? No, it didn't. But when he finally put his confidence that, okay, this is what he said, and trusting, all right, I'll go and do it, and actually did it, then what happened to his leprosy? When he dipped the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time, did he still have leprosy?
Yes.
How many times did he have to dip?
Seven times.
Isn't that interesting? Bible faith is confidence in what God says because there's evidence for it, and it's trusting that God is going to keep his promises. And in my life, if I keep on doing what he wants me to do. Now, here's the question. Do I have a faith that no matter what happens is going to hold? No matter what people say to me is going to hold? No matter what bad circumstances come into my life, I'm not going to question God. I'm not going to say, wait a minute, I'm not sure there's a God if he's letting this happen in my life. Your faith has got to be strong before the storm comes to help you get through the storm. Now, why? All right, so here's, we're not going to get through all four of these tonight. All right, so why? Tell me why. Why do I need that kind of a, why do I need a faith that holds? Give me some reasons. Say it again. Okay, world is a wicked place. You got to have a strong faith. Why do you need a faith that holds no matter what? Okay, I've got to have a strong faith because if I don't, well, I can't please God. That sounds like a pretty good reason to have a faith that holds, right? Because we want to please God. Why else do I need a strong faith? Okay, faith is what gets you to the crown of life. What does Revelation 2 and verse 4 say? Be faithful unto death and you will receive the crown of life. Say it again. Say that one more time.
You don't want to tear the church.
I thought that's. I didn't catch the first two words. So you don't want to tear the church apart. Is that why you need a faith that's going to hold no matter what? Yeah. What else?
You need a faith that's going to take you to heaven.
Yeah, going to take you to heaven. Why do you need a faith that's going to hold no matter what?
To fight the devil.
Look in Ephesians 6. You know Ephesians 6, right? You get to Ephesians 6. Look over in Ephesians 6, and when you get to starting in verse 10, but especially when you get down to verse 13. But what is God telling us to put on in Ephesians chapter 6?
Whole armor of God.
So you've got all of these various pieces. Now, verse 16, Ephesians 6 and verse 16. He's talking about one particular piece of that armor, and what is it called? The shield of? Shield of what? Is that, what kind of faith is that? Is that just a, yeah, I've heard about God. I think there's a God. Is that a shield? Is a shield that you think there's a God, you heard about him in Sunday school one time, is that really the shield this is talking about? I guess we do this because it's easy, but, you know, sometimes if in our children's classes, if we bring in a shield, it might be the size of maybe two songbooks. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with something that might be the size of what we might show children in a Bible class. That, all right, here's a shield, because, you know, this is kind of a cool little shield that anybody can hold. You know, you put a little handle. But shields that the Roman soldiers used in that day, this would have been a pitiful shield. This was not the kind of shield that they used. The shield that they used was see this stand here. Imagine that instead of this being open right here, from this point, this width and down is a solid piece of wood. And when the enemy attacks, guess where I am? Now you can't see me because there's wood right there. But this is where there's you're carrying around a huge shield. So what's the point of this? How big is your faith? Is your faith this big? Here comes the devil. Oh boy, I better watch him real close because I can't do much with this thing. How big is your faith? I mean, if you got a faith this big, and it's holding, and he comes attacking you, you okay?
Yeah.
You got protection? Now, what? Keep reading. You got the shield of faith, which is able to do what? What does it say about the darts of the devil? What does it say that it's going to do to them? Quench. Is that like Sprite, the thirst quencher? What does that mean?
Puts it out.
So it's not that it just stops them. Oh, I've got this big shield and, well, okay, it stopped. What does the word quench mean? It's gone. It's not that the dart hit it and it's still there and it's still on fire, but at least it didn't touch me. It quenches it. Our faith needs to be a faith that holds, so that when we are attacked, whether it be by the devil, the world, the false teachers, the skeptics, the unbelievers, whatever it be, it's not going to get through. It's not going to touch me. It's not. And let me put these up here because I want to make sure we have time to get through all of this. But it's not going to cause me to waver one iota. Look in 1 Peter. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1 real quick. So, summary statement, a good summary of the theme of the book of 1 Peter is the concept that even in the midst of trials and tribulations, a Christian can have, and here's a four-letter word for you, the key word in the book of 1 Peter is the word hope. So even in the midst of trials and difficulties in life, a Christian can have hope. So that permeates the book of 1 Peter, okay? So look in verse 3. As a Christian, we have a living hope. You with me in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3? He has begotten us again to a living hope. How do we have that living hope? Where did it come from? Keep reading the verse. Through the what? Through the what? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus died. What happened after Jesus died on the third day? He rose from the dead. He's alive. Because of the life of Jesus, he lived again. What do I have? Do I have a hope? I've got more than a hope. I've got a live. What does that mean? I've got a living hope. Full expectation that what he's promised, what is my expectation in verse 4? To receive what? An inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and doesn't fade away. So tell me something that you have in your life. Tell me something that's on this earth that you can order on Amazon, or you can go down to the Rolls-Royce dealership. Tell me something on earth that you can have that is incorruptible, undefiled, and doesn't fade away. Nothing. Y'all got really quiet. I was like waiting for your answer. So something that's incorruptible, undefiled, doesn't fade away. That's got to be a Tesla, right? He's gonna invent something, right? I mean, that guy is so smart, and he's invented so many cool things. He's going to invent something that's incorruptible, undefiled, and doesn't fade away. I mean, if anybody's going to do it, he's going to do it, right? Can he do it? Everything here does. So what is this talking about? Well, what is the we'll keep reading. Where is that reserved for you? In verse, reserved in heaven for you. All right, so too much context. That's too much fun. Look at verse 6. In what? You've got a reservation in heaven. Are you with me in verse 6? In this you greatly rejoice. How long are you here on this earth, according to this verse? A little while. Does it feel that way?
You better hope it does.
It's for a little while. But if need be, you are grieved by various trials. Why? What does verse 7 say? You're grieved by various trials that the genuineness of your faith might be tested. And when it's tested, it may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when these tests of our faith come, what's the purpose? What is one of the purposes of them?
Show the glory of God.
To glorify God. To build resilience. Does it help me to be stronger? If I don't have any test to my faith, nobody ever questions me. You know, I don't have any trial. I don't go through any storms, any difficulties. If I just coast through life as a Christian, that's wonderful. We think, boy, that's great. I don't have any issues. What do we need to help our faith to become stronger? A little resistance.
You need those trials and temptations.
And we don't want them. But guess what? When we have little ones that help us to build up resilience to the resistance, What does that help us to prepare for? Now, does that help me to help other people to get through them too? Isn't that interesting? Sometimes we just focus on us. Well, I'm going to go through this so I can get through something bigger. What if you're just going through this so you can help somebody else get through something bigger? We just focus on ourselves. So, biblical faith. I've got to have a faith that holds. Why? For these reasons. All right. We got, what do we have, Jack? 8 minutes. All right. So we got 8 minutes. How? How do I get a faith that holds? What do I got to do? Caleb?
Stay consistent.
Stay consistent. That's good. Is that hard? Is being consistent hard? You know what one of the hardest things at being consistent is? When one of the hardest things to be consistent at is being, what'd you say?
Being consistent.
It's very hard to be consistent at being consistent. It's very hard at being consistent being a parent. That's hard too. So how do I develop a strong faith? Let's go with that, Caleb. Let's go with that for a second. Be consistent at what? Go ahead.
Following Christ.
So I've got to be consistent at following Christ. So is that always easy to do? Sometimes people try to push you out of the way. No, don't. And I've got to be consistent. What else? Be consistent in what? Finding the answers in the Bible. Bible study. Religious devotion. Did you say praying? Reflection. So how do I, all right, I've got to have this faith that holds. How do I get it? All right, so you've said this. Obviously, we've got to get into the Word of God. John said a little while ago, Romans 10 verse 17. Where does faith come from? The Bible doesn't keep it a secret from us, does it? Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Come back Sunday night for this second point, all right? The second point is Sunday night sermon. I think it's this Sunday night. But we've got to have more than just Bible study. We've got to have it, and we've got to have every bit of it that we can. But what if you sit and you've got a manual about how to fix a car engine? What if you sit and you read a manual about how to build a barbecue grill? What if you sit and you read a manual about whatever, and all you've ever done is you've just read the manual? What'd you say?
It's not faith.
The car engine's still not working. The barbecue grill is still in pieces on the porch because you've just been sitting. You've got to have the understand. You've got to fill yourself up with it, and that's the Word of God. We've got to fill our hearts with it, but it's not going to be a faith that holds until we put it into practice, until we move and we act upon what we know. Go over to Joshua chapter 23 real quick. And as you go to Joshua 23, we'll just, I want to go to Joshua 21, but go to Joshua 23. So tell me what the book of Joshua is about. In short, good answer. Is that what you said? Book of Joshua is about Joshua. Man, that's the best answer in the world, all right? The book of Joshua is about Joshua. Okay, let me be a little bit broader. What is the book of Joshua about Joshua doing? All right, so leading God's people in the promised land, conquering the promised land. So, Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. That's a nice way of saying I'm about ready to kick the bucket. And you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. How many times did he say not one thing has failed, not one word has failed? Two times in one verse. Not one word has failed. All of it's come to pass. That'd be a good verse. Tom, you talked about premillennialism tonight. That'd be a good verse for them to know. Because they have this idea, way off subject, they have this idea that Israel's going to be restored to the land because they believe that the land was never fully given to Israel. Hello, what does this verse say?
It's been given.
Everything has been given to you. Not a word failed that God said he was going to give you this land. Okay, what's the point in us going to that verse? Does God keep His promises? He made a promise to Abraham. He made a promise to Abraham hundreds of years before this ever happened. Hundreds of years before, well, before they ever thought about taking the promised land. Did God keep His promise?
Amen.
Yeah. When God in Genesis chapter 15 told Abraham, I want you to look this way, this way. I want you to look every direction. And all of this land I'm giving to your descendants. Did He do it?
Yep.
Was there a piece of it that God said, hey, well, maybe I'll just keep this to myself?
Nope.
No. So the point is, how do I build a faith that holds? I build it by looking at what God has done in my life in the past, and not just in my life, but go all the way. Does God keep His promises?
Yes.
Does He protect His people? Now, does that mean that He protects them from all evil and all bad circumstances and all trials and tribulations? No, it doesn't mean that. But does God walk with you through those difficulties?
Yes.
Has He promised that He will never do something? He will never... Oh, you've read that verse. He said that in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Is that true?
Amen.
Name one time in your life that God has left you or forsook you. One time that He did it. You can't. We might say, well, boy, I was going through a hard time there. I just wasn't really sure. God was right there with you through the entire time. And how do you know that He wasn't there strengthening you to help you get through something else, to help somebody else get through something else? So how do we build and there's obviously more to add to this. We could fill the screen with these. But just remembering what God has done for me in the past. Getting into His Word. Faith comes by hearing. Doing His Word. And looking in the rear view mirror in order to look in the front view mirror. Say, okay, this is what God's going to do for me. So last thing real quick. We have 1 minute. What happens if I don't have a faith that holds? You're weak. You don't have hope. Can't please God. Say it again. Okay. The thorns will choke the word out.
No authorities. You have no authorities.
Okay.
No authorities.
What happens if I don't have a faith that holds? Here's some just to chew on for about 45 seconds. Caleb? Say it again. It won't hold. If I don't have a faith that holds, it's not going to hold. If y'all ever been out on a boat? Anybody ever used an anchor on a boat? When I was a kid, my dad helped me get a boat. I don't remember how long that boat was, maybe 12 feet long. You know how big the anchor was for that little 12-foot boat? Remember the songbook? Remember the songbook? The anchor for that little boat, I mean, it was weighted. It was probably about this big. Okay, it was a 12-foot boat. I mean, how big of an anchor? But if you took that same anchor and you went and put it on, who's got a big yacht over here? Tiger Woods? I don't know. So who's got a big, and you try to anchor a big yacht out here with my little anchor for my little 12-foot boat. How's that going to hold?
Not
going to work, is it? Why? Because with a bigger boat, you need a bigger anchor. Because otherwise, the boat's not going to hold. And Caleb's exactly right. If you don't have a faith that holds, it's not going to hold. Well, that anchor's not going to hold. So we sing a song that says, we have an anchor, right? Does your anchor hold? Well, that's talking about our faith. That's talking about our hope. How strong is your faith? Is it going to hold? When the storm comes, how big's your anchor? And is it anchored where it needs to be anchored? To say, I'm never going to doubt my God. I'm not going to allow doubts to creep into my heart. Did the disciples ever allow doubts to creep into their heart?
Yep.
Did Jesus call them out on it?
Yes.
Yeah, He did.
But Acts, they act on it.
And so, yeah, you read the book of Acts, and they acted on their faith, and that's what we've got to do. So I know the bell's rung. Something every Christian needs. They got to have a faith that holds. How do we do that? We get into the Word, we practice the Word, and we help each other, we serve each other.
Serve.
Next week, we'll talk about one more thing. You all mentioned it tonight. It was on your list. Something else that every Christian needs. All right. Thank you all very much for being here tonight.